You have your Bibles, you'll turn with me to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. I'd like to read verse 19, and then I would like to read verse 30, and verse 36, and verse 37. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, verse 19, verse 30, verse 36, and verse 37. Speaking of a young man, it says in verse 19, and he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother. Carry him to his mother." In verse 30, we find something about the mother. "And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth," speaking to the man of God, Elisha, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. Verse 36 and verse 37 says, "And he called Gehazi and said, Call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out." Somebody has said this mother was full of hospitality. She had many things going for her. A real mother does. Mothers get up for you in the night and change your wet sheet and pajamas. They warm your bottle for you and burp you. They cry a little when you go off to the first grade. Mothers dig out strange old clothes for your neighborhood play on the back porch. Mother eats the wings and bony pieces so you can have a thigh or pulley bone. Mothers make you wash behind your ears and tell you when you need a haircut. Mothers understand when things didn't go so well at school. They stay up late folding clothes and making lunches for the next day. They keep Dad encouraged. They are tickled when you hit a home run, even if you did get your pants dirty sliding in to score. Mothers feed the dog when you forget. They make you finish your supper. Mothers, before you can have dessert. Later you understand why. Mothers care what you watch on TV and make sure what you're reading is okay. Mothers say, "I know you can do it," when you're sure you can't. And attaboy, "I knew you could," after it all over. Mothers weep in prayer before God to keep you living right, so they won't have to spend a lifetime weeping when you go wrong. Mothers cry when you get married, but rejoice when you get a new home, a better job, or a new addition to your family. Mothers never stop loving you. A good mother is about the best thing a fellow can have. I believe that. I believe one of the best blessings and one of the greatest things an individual can have would be to have a good, godly, conscientious Christian mother. I suppose that all of us sometimes in our life have heard that very familiar statement that I read as part of our scripture lesson this morning. Carry him to his mother. Now, I can recall that on occasions of somebody saying that about me when I was small. I can remember somebody saying, "Carry him to his mother." And then I, as a father, the father of four children, can remember saying that too about my children. I've said to somebody, "Well, carry him to his mother." Sometimes we want somebody to carry that child to his mother when he's soiled his diaper. Seems always that mother could do a better job than father. And you could be rocking the baby, and all of a sudden you knew there was an accident. And it was just so easy to tell somebody, carry him to his mother. That's one of the blessings of being a mother, and we don't want to deprive mothers of that blessing. And then there are occasions when, they skim their knees of tears and crying and upset. It just seemed like it was always the thing to say when that child had an accident, carry him to his mother. Seemed like she was always better at first aid. She always just knew exactly what to do. And so oftentimes in a time of accident, it was just natural to say, carry him to his mother. And then sometimes it's easy also when the child has done wrong and needs correction, needs discipline. It seemed like it was so much easier to say, carry him to his mother. She can do the discipline. We pass it on to the mother. And on and on. How many times have we said, just carry him to his mother? It's like the mother always knows what to do. She's a great psychologist and a great counselor and a great physician. She's just everything. And so we find it constantly being said, carrying to his mother. I think that this man that uttered this statement was not the first man to say that. Though it's the only time in the Bible that I read it said just exactly like that. I'm sure that other men said it before he did, and we all know that we've said it since. But that carrying to his mother kind of rang a bell with me. I want us to thank God this morning that we've had mothers that we could be carried to. Mothers that seem to understand and know just exactly what we needed. I feel like that this father who made this statement from our text today was a man that had the greatest of confidence in his wife and the mother of his child. And the story that I'm about to relate to you this morning is how a great woman became a great mother. And I hope that in the process of this message this morning, that we can do our mothers the right kind of honor. We certainly can make this truly a Mother's Day in which we say to all of our mothers that we appreciate you, that we love you, that we thank God for you. And we really do. I know that perhaps I was talking to Brother Hankins, and he said to me this past week, he said it's harder than ever before to be a pastor. And he said things are coming about that we never thought that we would have to be faced with, and it's hard. Well, I think that I can agree with him to a point, and I did agree with him that, yeah, I believe it is harder to be a pastor than ever before because of the complexity of the society in which we live and the issues which confront us as ministers of the gospel and as pastors. But at the same time, I think I can say to mothers, it's perhaps harder than it's ever been to be a mother. And the reason of that is because so much of our society is trying to do away with the family unit, trying to destroy the home. And there's something going on in our society that bothers me, that troubles me. And what bothers me and troubles me is that there's this attitude floating around that if you're a mother, you're nothing. Well, I want to tell you, brother, if you're a mother or sister, if you're a mother, you've got something to be proud of. And it's not something to just feel bad about and that you're not important, but you really are. Let's look at this great woman who became a great mother. I think this is one of the greatest stories in the Old Testament. Certainly I think it's one of the more beautiful stories recorded in the Word of God. Let's look at this woman and look at the qualities that were in her life before she ever became a mother that enabled her, I believe, to be a great mother. First of all, the Bible says that a man by the name of Elisha, a great prophet of God, a spirit-filled man, a man that had a double portion of the spirit of Elijah, was a man that often passed back and forth through this little village of Shunem. Now, in this little village, in Elisha's traveling, ministering in the prophet's schools, and preaching the words of God to people, in his travel, he often passed through this little village. And the Bible said in this village, this great woman lived. And the word great in the Bible means, in its truest sense here, that she was a woman of means. She was a woman of wealth. She had some things that she could help people with. And so we find that as Elisha continued to pass through that little village one day, this woman observed him, and the Bible says she constrained him to come into her home. She pleaded with Elisha, said, "Elisha, come into my house and let me fix you a meal." And so we find at the very offset that this was a very generous woman. She was a woman filled with hospitality. She was a woman that wanted to do something for somebody. And so after pleading with Elisha, Elisha went in. And so finally, this woman's house became a regular spot of refreshing for the prophet Elisha. Often, the Bible said, when he'd come to Shunem, he would go to this great woman's house, and there she would prepare a meal for him, and there she would provide refreshment for him. So on many occasions, this woman provided hospitality for Elisha. Finally, one day, when Elisha was coming by so often, she approached her husband and said to her husband, she said, "I perceive that this is a holy man of God." So we see that this woman was a woman of generosity. She was a woman of hospitality. And then she was a woman with spiritual perception. She was able to perceive that Elisha was a holy man of God. We need mothers with that kind of spiritual perception that can perceive the difference between carnality and spirituality, from things that are wrong and things that are right. But this woman said, "I perceive that this is a holy man of God." She didn't say that he was a charmer or that he was wonderful, but that he was a holy man of God. And we find that the woman was a submissive woman to her husband. She was a woman who knew her place. She didn't go tell her husband to build a prophet's chamber. The Bible says she approached her husband and said, "Let us." She counseled with her husband. She subjected herself to her husband's advice. And I want you to know the Bible teaches that the husband is to be the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And so we find that this woman, even though she wanted to build this holy man of God a prophet's chamber, she would not start to do it until she first consulted her husband. And so her and her husband agreed. And the Bible said they built the prophet Elisha a prophet's chamber, our little room. And in that room they put a bed and a chair and a desk and a lamp. And as often as Elisha came, they always had that little room set apart for him. It was his room. It was his special place to go to lie down and rest. And it certainly pleased Elisha and his servant Gehazi. They looked forward to going to this great woman's house because this home was such a home of peace and tranquility. There was no fussing or feuding between her and her husband, no grumbling or complaining. It seemed to be a home of contentment, a home and a place where the prophet Elisha could really feel at home. And on one occasion when Elisha was visiting and he was in his prophet's room, he looked at his servant Gehazi and said, "You know, this lady's been so good to us. She's provided us with fine meals, and she's built this little house, a room on her house where we could have a place to rest and a bed to sleep in." He said, "We just ought to do something for that woman." And so he said, "Gehazi, Go get the woman and bring her to my room where I might ask her what we can do for her for all that she's done for us. And so the woman came, and we find that Elisha said to the woman, said, what can we do for you? You've been so good to us. Would you like for me to speak to the king? Because you see, Elisha was on good terms with King Jehoram at that time. And she said, would you like for me to speak to the captain of hosts? I'll give a good word for you because of all that you've done for us. Well, we see not only was this woman a woman of generosity and a woman of hospitality and a woman of submission and a woman of spiritual perception, but she also was a contented woman, because when she was asked by Elisha what he could do for her to repay her for her good deeds to him, she simply looked at him and said, I don't need a thing. We live with my family and everything's all right. Such a contented person. And then when she walked away, He began talking to his servant Elisha, did to Gehazi, and said, Gehazi, surely there must be something we can do for this lady. And Gehazi said, well, there's one thing that's missing in this home. She has no child. She has no children, and her husband is old. I believe the greatest thing we could do for this great woman is to pray that she would have a baby. And you know, back in those days, for women not to have children was, they were looked down upon. It was unheard of. And so all these years she had lived without a child. Yet with all of that, she was not sour against God. She was not bitter against God. She was a woman of contentment. And so he called the great woman back to him, and he said to her, about this time next year, you're going to have a baby. And the woman looked at him and said, oh, you're a prophet of God. Don't lie to me. She just couldn't believe it. And so the conversation, according to the Bible, just cut off there. But sure enough, because Elisha was a man of God, and God heard him, the Bible says that God visited her, and a year later she had her first son. Can you imagine, my friends, what a great bit of joy and enthusiasm came into that home. That home where this woman was so generous and had so much hospitality and had so much spiritual perception and was so submissive and so contented. And all of a sudden, now she has a baby. Oh, what a joy it brought to her life and her heart and her husband. And oh, I can see it now. She played with him and cuddled with him and talked with him. And I can see on many occasions as Elisha came by that house how he would take that little baby boy on his knee and talk about it. And I believe that mother told her son many things about Elisha as he began to grow. And the Bible grew. The Bible says the little boy grew to be a grown boy. And one day he said to his dad, as his daddy was going to work in the field, Dad, let me go with you. I'm old enough now. And so the father looks at the mother and says, you believe it's all right for him to go to the field with me and work today? Yes, it's all right. I think he'll be all right. And so the little boy, now perhaps 12 years old, went to the field with his father. And in the heat of the day, somewhere, the Bible still talks about his head began to hurt. Some say that he was having a sunstroke. And in the midst of that sickness and that terrible headache, they told the father. And the father looked at his young son there, and he saw that he was in pain, and he saw that he was in agony. And the father felt so helpless. He didn't know what to do for his young son. And so he said to one of his servants, he said, you carry him to his mother. She'll know what to do. She'll know what to do. And so one of the servants grabbed the 12-year-old boy and rushed the little lad to his mother. And by this time, no doubt, the little boy was crying. And he was saying, my head hurts. And so they carried the little lad to his mother. And the Bible says that mother took that boy that she loved and she placed him upon her knees. And I believe she prayed for him. I believe she sang to him. I believe she washed his brow with a damp cloth. And she cuddled him there. And all of a sudden it seemed like the boy was getting worse and worse. And while that mother held her only son in her arms, he died. Instead of panic, I see peace.
Instead of fear, I see faith. I see this great woman who had become a great mother do something that really blesses me. She took her dead son. She went to the prophet's room. She laid him on the prophet's bed. And she closed the door. And she said to the servant, "Go tell my husband to send me a donkey and send me a servant, that I might go with haste to the man of the prophet of God. And I'll know him." turned this word back to the mother, and he said to the mother, it's not a time of service. It's not the new moon or feast day or the Sabbath. Why are you going to Elisha? And all this mother would say back to her husband, I don't believe she wanted to worry him. She just simply said to her husband, it shall be well. And so she said to the servant who was the carrier to where Elisha was, as he saddled her upon the donkey, she said, don't lose time. Go as fast and quickly as you can. And it was a journey of 15 miles. Oh, not only was this woman a woman of hospitality and generosity and spiritual perception and submission and contentment, but she was a woman of faith. Hallelujah. I don't believe you can be a good mother without a lot of faith. Even when it looks like it's the worst, you still got to hold on to God and have faith. I've known many mothers who, when they got the news that their boy or their daughter in the worst kind of trouble they could get in, it looked like they were just going to the pits of hell, never to be get back. How that, in spite of the condition of their son and the daughter, they had the faith to hold on to God. I tell you, we need those kind of mothers that no matter what the condition of your son and daughter might be in today, don't lose hope, don't give up, hold on to God. Mother went, and as she was going to Mount Carmel, where Elisha was, Elisha saw her coming, and he said to Gehazi, isn't that the woman from Shunem? And Gehazi said, yes, that's her. Elisha said, I want you to run and meet her before she gets here, and I want you to ask her three questions. I want you to ask her the question, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And so Gehazi runs, and he sees a Shunem woman, and he meets her, and he asks the question of Elisha to her. He says to the woman, Shunem, is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And without a hesitation, break, without a tremor, she said, it is well. Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh, it is well, she said. You know why she could say that? Because she had an experience and a relationship with God, and she believed that all things could work together for good to them that love God. And so she ran and she came to where Elisha was, and she threw herself down and grabbed a hold of his feet. And as she was weeping at his feet, Gehazi would go to thrust her away. And Elisha said to Gehazi, don't touch her. Sure, her soul is vexed within her. She's troubled. And he said, leave her alone, because her soul is vexed. And the Lord has hidden from me and have not told me about the condition this mother's in. And then Elisha understood, and he said to Gehazi, take my staff. And don't salute anybody. Don't talk to anybody. Don't lose any time. Go straight to where that young boy is. And when you get there, lay my staff on his face that he might live. And so Gehazi grabbed the staff. And the mother said, I'm not leaving. She said, I'm not leaving you, prophet of God. In verse 30, she said, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Oh, friends, not only was she a mother of faith, but she was a mother of persistence. She was a mother that would stick. She said, I just won't leave you. I need you, Elisha. And the Bible says that Gehazi ran to where the boy was. When he got there, he took the staff of Elisha and he put it upon the face of the dead boy. But the dead boy did not hear, nor see, nor breathe. Gehazi ran back to carry the message to Elisha. And by that time, because of the persistence of the mother, Elisha said to her, I'll go home with you. And so Gehazi met Elisha, and the mother said, I took your staff, laid it upon his face, but it did no good. He's not alive. Still, the mother did not frantic. And the Bible says Elisha went to where the boy was in the chamber and closed the door on him and the boy. And he prayed. Glory. And after he prayed, he went over there and stretched himself off on the boy. He put his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands and his mouth on his mouth. And he stretched himself on him until the boy became warm. And then he got up and he began to walk to and fro, praying, God, give this mother back her son.
He prayed and sought God. And finally, after he prayed, the Bible said he went back and stretched himself on the boy again the second time. And about that time, the boy sneezed seven times. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that Elisha said, "Call her. Call his mother." And he said when the mother came in and saw her alive son, the first thing she did was to fall down on her knees and be thankful and filled with gratitude for what had been done for her. Listen, he said, and when she was coming to him, he said, "Take up your son." Then she went in and put his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son. She was an appreciative woman. Now, friends, mothers, what I want you to see from this story this morning is this. This boy would have never lived had it not been for his mother. This boy would have never lived physically had it not been for his mother. Now what this says to me, and what I want to throw out as a challenge to you mothers this morning, there are many of your children who are in desperate spiritual shape today. There are many of your children that are dying a spiritual death. There are many of your children that are already spiritually dead. They're as dead spiritually as this boy was physically. But oh, mother, I want to tell you something this morning. Because of the faith and the persistence and the courage and the generosity of this mother, her dead son came back to physical life. And I want to say to you mothers this morning that your child may be spiritually dead, but if you will have faith in God, if you will have courage in God, if you will be persistent to God, if you will lay hold of the horns of the altar, I believe your sons and daughters can be born again and come forth to spiritual life. Praise his holy name. I believe there are many sons and daughters that are spiritually alive today because of the faith and the persistence of their mother. Hallelujah. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my mother. All that I am or I hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." John Quincy Adams says, "All that I am, my mother made me." Listen to the words again. Carry him to his mother. But the answer came back. The mother doesn't want him. Saddens my heart, but the truth is, there are children who have mothers that don't want them. There are children that have mothers that don't want them. A preacher friend that went on the Holy Land tour with us told about a mother with two small children on Sunday morning. They had planned, her and her mother, not only the mother, but the grandmother of children, had come to that city on a Saturday. They had, on Saturday night, they would get a motel room, and then on the next morning, they would drive around until they found a church, and they would go to the pastor of that church and simply give their children away. Just a few months ago. And he said they slept late that morning, the mother, the grandmother, and the two children. And they slept till most churches were already dismissed and gone. And it said the mother and grandmother were furious because they had slept so late. And they thought they were going to lose their opportunity to give their children away. But it just so happened that this pastor, Brother English, was still at his church. And the parent, the mother and the grandmother drove around and drove up and literally just gave their two children to him. They didn't want them anymore. We don't want them. The sad truth is, there's some children that have no mother that they can be carried to because their mother rejects them, refuses them. Carry him to his mother. And the answer comes back. The mother doesn't want him. And to his mother, and the answer comes. We don't know where she is. We can't find this. We gotta locate her. No, her mother is. The sad tragedy is there are children today that can't be carried to the mothers because they don't know where their mothers are. Carry him to his mother, and the answer comes back. I don't know what to do for him. I've up on him. There are mothers like that that give up on their kids. I've tried and all I can, and there's nothing more I can do for her. So I just give up. Tragedy to have children and mothers say, I just don't know what to do for them, and throw up your hands. How sad. Carry him to his mother, and the answer comes back, I'm too busy with my career. I don't have time for my children. I don't have time to read a Bible story to them or take them to church. Dear woman, and my business career is far more important to me than my children. Carry him to his mother. She just simply don't want him. But then there are those carry to his mother. And the mother's always ready to welcome, to bring about healing, to care, to love. Thank God for mothers. I read to you something that impressed me about we owe so much to our mothers. We owe so many things to them. We could never repay them. We all owe so much to our mothers. Thank God. Mothers, do you want them to bring your children to you? Do you have the faith and the courage of this woman who became a great mother to minister to them? I was clearing my wallet the other day, and I ran across a whole bunch of IOUs, some several years overdue. Funny thing is, all of the IOUs are owed to one person. And I think right now might be a pretty good time for an accounting. Mom, I owe you for many things, including a lot of services like watchman. You lie awake at nights listening for coughs, cries, cords, and me coming in too late. You have the eye of an eagle, the rib of a lion, and the heart big as a house. I owe you for services as a short order cook, chef, baker, and for being able to make sirloin out of old plain hamburger, turkey out of tuna fish, and a big old strapping boy out of all the leftovers. I owe you too for cleaning services, for the daily scrubbing of face and ears, all work done by hand, and the frequent dusting of a small boy's pants to try to make sure he lived a spotless life, and for washing and ironing like no laundry could ever do, for drying the tears of childhood and for ironing out all the problems of growing up. I owe you for services as a bodyguard, for protecting me from the terrors of thunderstorms and nightmares and green apples. And I owe you for medical attention, such as nursing me through measles and mumps, bruises and bumps and splinters and spring fever. Let's not forget the medical advice either. Oh no, important things like don't scratch it or it won't ever get well. If you cross your eyes that way, they're going to stick. I also owe you for veterinarian services such as feeding every lost dog I would drag home at the end of a rope and for healing the hurting pains of a puppy love. And I owe you for entertainment, the kind of entertainment that kept the household going during some mighty rough times. For wonderful low-cost productions at Christmas, 4th of July, and happy birthdays, and making believe come true on a very limited budget. I love you for I owe you for construction work, for building kites, confidence, hopes, and dreams. And somehow you made them all touch the sky, and for seeing the family, I owe you that. Praise and the worst kind of shallows, and for laying out a good, strong foundation to build a life on, and for teaching me. Without God, I owe you for carrying charges, for carrying me on your books, for the necessities of life, which a growing boy just must have. Big things like a pair of high-top boots with a little pocket on the side for a jackknife. I'll never forget when there were only two pieces of apple pie left and three hungry people. I noticed that you were the only one who suddenly decided that you really didn't like apple pie in the first place. These are just a few of the things that payment is long overdue. The person I owe them to was very cheap. She managed my simple doings without a whole lot of things that she needed herself. My OUs add up to much I could ever hope to repay. But you know the nicest thing about it all is that I know you'll mark the entire bill paid in full for just one kiss and four little words. Mom, I love you. We all owe our mom a great deal of gratitude, don't we? But anything she did, everything she sacrificed to help us, it seems like she marks it all paid in the four little words, Mom, I love you. And because my mother will get a tape of this service, I want to say to her, Mom, I love you. And I want to thank you for all the things you did to help me all through life when I was unappreciated and ungrateful. Thank you, Mom, for the sacrifices you made and the love you had for me when I didn't love you, Mama, like you loved me. I'm glad that I have that great love for you today that you had for me. Moms, we love you. Will you stand to your feet? Amen. Worry. Do you thank God for your moms today? I would like to just say to all of you moms today that we love and appreciate you for all that you've done. And I'd like for you to bow your heads with me right now, and I'd like to pray a closing prayer for our mothers.